On Agenda tonight, Jason Moorhouse, MHK, tells us why he's fine with not being in the government. And Key's newbie Tim Johnson says it's time to get the basics right. Also, as Nick Black leaves the DOI, I consider what it really means to be accountable to the public. The new rebel of Manx politics, a voice of reason from Aaron Michael, and a few unpopular thoughts about the DOI.
We've mentioned the Economic Policy Review Committee and the possibilities there, so, but that's down to members of Team World choosing, so it's back into the lottery and see if my name comes out, but that's what I would really like, because if I could become chairman of that committee, it would open up a lot of opportunities, and it's an area I'm interested in, so yeah, I'm hopeful, and I need to get knocking on doors and try and get people interested in that and show them I could do it well.
Because, well, certainly, I mean, maybe it was just the fairly wicked lot that we're in when I was in House of Keys, but generally speaking, if someone made it known that they wanted a particular role, sometimes members would act quite perversely and ensure that said role was going to someone else.
That's certainly a risk, and it's a risk I'm aware of, but there are still lots of things that a backbencher can do, and I'm lucky that I've got some experience. And I'm one of, I think, only two people with no departmental roles, so I can go anywhere, I can ask any question, and I can also bring motions. And when you bring a motion, you can actually go to the department and open up real opportunities and chances. So, yeah, it's a good place to be in, not of choosing, but I can make a lot of it, definitely.
And disappointed, bearing in mind that you topped the poll, you significantly increased your majority, that you weren't even considered for ministerial role?
Well, I was considered. We actually did have a one-to-one meeting on the Thursday morning. We spoke later that day. We had the email communication. And there was a real possibility in terms of Alf's situation. He had a limited number of seats and he had to make choices. So, yeah, I'm happy where I am and, yeah, I can make a difference where I am.
And Tim, you seem to have picked one of the nicer cards in terms of the available opportunities for members in economic development. That's quite a nice role to have.
Yes, I'm very pleased to be in the department, looking like I'll be involved on the business side. Coming into politics and my manifesto, which very much talked about the importance of that relationship between government and business is a really important one. And that's obviously one of the main departments where it really does work through the agencies with the private sector. So, yeah, I'm very pleased. Obviously, I've been self-employed all my working life in farming, and you know, farming is a business like any other, and obviously my other involvement with the Almond Creamery as director. So I like to hope and I should bring some insight and some useful skills to the role.
And in terms of your relationship with the Chief Minister, obviously you have a much closer tie perhaps than many of the members, because you both represent the same constituency. How does that actually work, or how is it working so far anyway in terms of working as a team for the people in Ayr and Michael?
Yep, obviously the Chief Minister's has been pretty busy over the last few weeks. It's early days, but we've certainly, you know, sat down and had conversations about that. I think, yeah, we both recognise that it's very important for the good of the constituency that that we work together, and that's certainly what we're both very keen to do. We've already sort of pre-booked some joint surgeries, and that's important to work together, and that's certainly the ethos, the spirit in which we're both wanting to set off.
And for you, Jason, you have a new partner in Arbury Castleton and Maloo. It's fair to say, and I'm sure Graham Cregeen, if he was here, would not necessarily disagree with this. Graham was quite a sparky character, but not necessarily that easy to sort of work with on a team basis. Any easier with Tim?
It's early days, but yeah, we're looking at having joint surgeries. We've been to quite a few events together. We regularly chat and email frequently. It's, yeah, good relationship so far, but, you know, even with Graham, there were up and down days. He was in council ministers, so, you know, there were challenges from that perspective, but, yeah, every partner's different.
And I suppose as well, from a south point of view, I mean, it's great for you, Tim, down the north there with three ministers from the north, two from the west. It's you know, you're well represented in council of ministers. But of course, for the first time ever, we haven't got any minister from the south.
No, but it does create opportunities in a way, because we actually did meet at the Southern Pool last night, and it was kind of interesting from that point of view that we can meet the minister, and if we can't actually get what we require there, we can actually look at alternatives. Whereas if one of us was in council ministers, it could actually be restricted what we can do. So again, it's opportunities and using the resources you've got to the best.
Yes, it's a strange thing, isn't it? As a minister, you have significantly more power and influence to do things. However, if a fellow minister chooses not to do a particular thing, it does become quite difficult, because you don't have the opportunity in quite the same way as backbenchers do to challenge that. Tim, you've obviously had your first sittings now. You're starting to get your feet under the table. But you know, compared with where you came from, and I mean, you've had years of experience in agricultural politics. Is there much of a difference?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's a very different style of doing things, obviously. It's fascinating coming into that environment for the first time. And in some ways, it's about learning how to do things and the procedures. And that's something which takes a little bit of time to get used to, the standing orders, the rules that are there. So, and that's something that I think as you learn and become more confident, you get more engaged with. But no, you know, bottom line is people are people. And I think that a lot of the issues you deal with, whether it's in agriculture or whether on the wider field, often it's some of the principles and issues are the same at the end of the day. And it is about representing people. It's about finding corners and making sure that you're getting your points over and listening. I think that's a big thing as well. Yeah.
One of the most amazing experiences that you can ever have, really, to go round and speak to so many people to find out really what is affecting people, what their concerns are. But obviously that then you end up with a vast array of ideas of different things that need sorting. There are lots of common themes, but there's also quite an array. How do you actually then hone all that down into a new agenda for the next 5 years for government? Are you both actively involved in that process now? Has the Chief Minister been very open, or how is that process working as far as you can see? And we'll maybe start with Jason.
Yeah, it does seem very open. We've had two meetings now where we've had the opportunity to share our ideas and thoughts, and we get the impression that we're being heard and those ideas are going forward. So it does seem very encouraging and very positive at this point.
I think it's quite interesting, actually, when you get together and you talk about the campaign and the election campaign, and actually so many common issues that ran through the whole of the island, and that's something that puts, I think, sort of quite a clear determination in what we need to do. And so, and as Jason says, really welcome the fact that we have all been given that opportunity to have that input and that discussion. And obviously there's more work to do on that. But I think a clear feeling that it's time to get some of the basics right for the island. I certainly got that impression on the doorstep that actually there wasn't a huge number of issues. Actually, a lot of the time it was quite clear. Housing, state of the roads, and I think a general feeling that government just wasn't working for people. And you know, I suppose, fascinating going around talking to people, listening, but also worried at times how many people said to me, "Well, to be honest, I'm not sure whether I'm even going to bother voting this time because actually nothing changes." And you know, there's no accountability, there's no transparency in government. And talking to other members now, it's clear that was a message that a lot of people heard. And so I would expect to see that very much put through into the new programme going forward.
And quite bizarrely, in a way, there's an excess of transparency in many areas, and in an awful lot of the areas of government. Quite frankly, you get far too much detail on things that don't seem to really matter. Mm. But it's perhaps the bigger picture stuff, the things that perhaps might cause a little bit more embarrassment for people in government, that we don't seem to get quite as much information from. But certainly accountability, that was one thing that struck me as I was attending all these election discussions that went on. But the thing that really struck me was, how do you hold your politicians accountable for what they're saying? You're listening to MHK's Jason Morehouse and Tim Johnson.
It's an interesting one, because I was in a lucky position, having been a backbencher, being able to ask questions, having quite a high profile in the constituency, so people knew I was kind of accountable. I was there and could be asked things and could get answers. I think what happened with council ministers was that last set of regulations in terms of the COVID restriction, I think that angered a lot of people. And it was very clear that in July and August time, there was a real aggression and dislike of what had happened. And people felt that their views had been overlooked and that things had been done for questionable reasons. And I think it was that kind of small issue in terms of what the government was doing that kind of backfired. And I think if we'd have actually had an election a month earlier, those Comey ministers would have done even worse. I did feel that in Aubrey Castle, Town and Maloo, there's definitely a movement back towards those ministers, and there's a recognition that there were other things to consider. But I think people do expect full openness, and when you get just a question mark that's not really given the adequate answer, people get concerned.
And is there a desire to actually continue to sort of hide behind ongoing consultations, or are we actually going to start seeing some real action in the course of the next 5 years? You know, we've been talking about climate change and what we might and might not do for 5 years. Very little by way of meaningful change. I mean, there's a whole range of areas where you could argue government is very good to talk. You know, rates reform is another brilliant example, and still no real action. It's an unfair system. You know, where are we going with these big burning questions?
Yeah, fair. I think fair criticism. And again, I think it comes back to the new administration saying there's some legacy stuff there that we just want to see finished, things that have just been going on for too long, and actually we need to draw that line and start again, concentrate on some of the more basic things and getting those right, because otherwise you end up with 25, 30 things going on that, and you do none of them well. And I think the key is actually to start concentrating on things and getting things actually finished. So I think you're right. I mean, as far as climate change is concerned, you know, that it's such a moving target, but I do think, you know, we've had to go through this process to where we are now, and I think we are going to start seeing action now. And we know that we've got the energy sort of consultation coming up. That we know that by 2035, I think we need to be 75% renewable energy. Well, bottom line is we are going to have to start doing stuff about that very soon. Lots of big words bandied around by everybody when it comes to climate change and it comes to food security and all these things, but actually, not everybody always knows what it actually means and what are the consequences of that. So one thing this government must do, and again it's down to that communication again, is just be straight and honest with people about actually what we need to do and how we're going to do it, and that means change for everybody, and it means cost as well. And I think it's very important that's translated as quickly as possible. But that accountability thing you mentioned before, I think it's also important to remember that We also need to make sure that Parliament functions properly. And I think there's always a criticism saying, well, if you haven't got a senior job or if you're not a minister, somehow it's not working. Well, actually, it's really important to have proper debate and proper scrutiny. That should be what should happen in Keys as well, because actually you get good decisions, you get better decisions, you get good government from proper scrutiny and proper decision making. So I think, again, the idea that everyone somehow should have a job and everyone should be, actually, no, let's and I think that's another message I certainly got on the doorstep, actually, people wanting to see more openness and transparency and accountability. And that actually also comes from making sure that government and parliament is functioning properly.
Totally agree there. I mean, and I think the change that was made over the course of the last 5 years, which basically means that Jason is no worse off for not having a government role, recognising that actually parliamentary work, parliamentary scrutiny is as important as the work that you were doing in government departments. I think that's a really important step. But of course, the other side to scrutiny is the media. And it's fair to say that the past administration had a fairly uneasy relationship with the media. There seemed to be a view that the media was at best a mild inconvenience which had to be dealt with from time to time, missing the point that actually the media is there to look after the interests of the public in the same way, I suppose, as Tynwald.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good point. And I'm slightly concerned this week that there have been the opportunities for the government people to come out and talk about climate change, come out and talk about the landlords' change, and there's been this void and this silence.
I should say, I have invited various ministers onto this show over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. I have not received any positive responses, apart from, of course, the Chief Minister, which, you know, to be fair, that's quite an important person to have on.
It is an important point. It seems to be also reflective of the chambers as well at the moment, that people are prepared to give it time. There's a new realism, there's a new group of people. I brought a question in on Tuesday about housing, and you could really kind of feel the tolerance of the members in terms of, we're not going to push it at this point. It's a new man in a new area, and we'll give him a bit longer and then we'll come in. But my concern, having been there before and seen how fast time goes, was we need to make sure we're actually doing something now and moving things forward on the existing timetable rather than stopping and starting in at some future point. So I do think we are in kind of interesting times, but yeah, things are definitely going to change.
It's a balance, though, I think, isn't it? You know, we've had, you know, we have been included in this sort of discussion process and at the moment over looking at for future plans, and that's going to be debated. I mean, that's going to, we've got an opportunity to debate that, obviously, and before that goes forward to sort of in January. So I think it's fair to say there does need to be that a little bit of slack given there. But yeah, I think government, and what I would like to see, and I think certainly I would hope to see, is that there's departments, ministers are given more freedom to be able to engage with the press and the media more directly anyway, because I think that's very important. I think there's been, again, looking in from the outside, as it was previous to now, you felt it was far too stage managed and far too controlled. So it would be good to see that happening. I think that would, again, talk about that feeling of trust and accountability. That's very important.
We're coming towards the end of the programme now. What would be your top three priorities?
Housing is going to be a priority. It's something that really does concern me. It was a key election issue for many of us. By having Chris Thomas in that role, there's real opportunities, but we need to make sure something does happen. Also, the economy, that's going to have a lot of pressure in the next 18 months, 2 years, following COVID, Brexit, all the other challenges. We need to make sure that's actually happening. And also to be an island where people want to stay and come to, not just young people, but everyone, because at the moment there are lots of challenges there. We need to make sure it is the place to be.
You know, it's easy to say housing, economy, and it's less easy to say the other one, because it takes a bit more words. But if you had two policy initiatives that you could introduce for housing and for economic development, what would they be?
Right, so in terms of housing, there needs to be more support for first-time buyers. There needs to be a system that's more realistic. But also in terms of the private sector, there needs to be a bigger range of houses. Also, the price is an issue. So those two things need to be looked at. In terms of economic development, it's ensuring that those businesses that are located here or started here actually get support for that next step. Too often, you start off with all the enthusiasm, you've got all the cash in the bank to get you going, but after a few months, you've got the challenges of where the customers, where's the money, what do I do next? And I think if you can get that right in terms of supporting those new businesses from off Ireland and those that have grown up, then we've got real potential.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the economy has to run front and centre because it pays for everything fundamentally. And I think, you know, we've got big issues with the health service. We know, you know, we've got to get on top of. We're lagging now. I think it's quite clear we're lagging behind in areas on waiting lists. And there's big issues there. You know, Manx Care have gone in there 1st of April. Yeah, they need the time to get things to work. But, you know, we really got to start seeing some improvements there. But for me, looking at the economy, looking in the short term, which is key as well, and mention of housing, is actually how do we get the people here we need on the island in the short term to fulfil the roles that are there? Because we have got a big problem at the moment between, you know, with job vacancies and availability. So we've got to look at ways and initiatives very quickly at how we do that. How do we, in the short term, because housing policy, we can all talk about, yes, first-time buyers, there's all sorts of issues and schemes that can be put in place, but these are all potentially medium long-term plans. We've got to think of what can we do in the short term to get people here, and how do we also look at the wealth of the youngsters we've got here now, and how do we upskill them to make sure they're relevant for where we are in the world. I think, again, for me, again, it's skills and getting the people here in a massively competitive world market for looking for quality skills. How do we get people to the island? How do we get them here to fill those roles? And how do we upskill our own people as well at the same time? Because if we don't fulfil our economic ideals and opportunities, then we can't pay for everything else. So I think that's really key.
That was MHK's Jason Moorhouse and Tim Johnson, with some interesting insights into developments in the corridors of power. Last week, we learned of the immediate departure of Nick Black as Chief Executive of the Department of Infrastructure, a move which appeared inevitable and something widely supported by the public. I have some experience in DOI as its longest-serving minister and have an alternative view on this which I'll share with you. I worked very closely with Nick in DOI and found him to be diligent, incredibly hard-working, wholly committed to serving the Manx public and delivering their infrastructure needs. I'm sure Nick would be the first to agree that he was not infallible, but part at least of the cause for the mistakes, poor service and errors for which DOI is rightly criticised can be tracked back to significant cuts made to the department about 10 years ago. Several independent reports commissioned by the last administration generally concluded that DOI has insufficient staff and resource to adequately maintain the island's creaking infrastructure. On the promenade, the DOI was apparently overruled by Treasury and the procurement team and were not allowed to use their preferred contractor for the scheme. The rest, of course, is history. The public rightly demanded that someone be held accountable for the DOI's poor performance, and with both the past two DOI ministers ousted at the last election, inevitably the chief executive would be seen as the next target. Nick Black's departure was probably the right thing and inevitable, but his significant service to us all should be acknowledged. And some serious questions need to be asked across government about how the DOI has been hung out to dry by the government team. But for now, though, I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayu. Thanks for listening.